Just as God used dreams and visions in the Old Testament, specifically dreams in the case of Joseph, he helped Joseph develop the purpose in his life that God intended. And brethren, that's what all of us as Christians want. We just want to identify what God wants from us. Whether it is someone who is a preacher or who leads public singing or public prayers, whether it's someone who fixes clothing or food for the benevolence, we need to find our purpose. Joseph needed to find his purpose, and God used these dreams to help him. Now, we use the word dream in other ways as well. I was thinking about, you know, people saying, well, I'm going to take a dream vacation, or we're going to build our dream house, or I have a dream job, and so forth. Dreams help hold the fragile pieces of our life together. But in our lesson, we're not talking about the subconscious thoughts when we're asleep today. That's not the dreams we're talking about. We're not talking about sitting at a desk or in your car and your mind is a million miles away. What we're talking about is allowing God's purpose to get into our existence and accept it as that. Now, the part of Joseph's life that I want us to begin with is in Genesis 37. Go ahead and turn to it. We'll be reading it there in just a few moments. But in Genesis 37, I want to narrative this story. Joseph has a dream. And in this dream, he and his brothers are in a field and they're gathering sheaves. And Joseph's sheaf stands up straight. And 11 other sheaves representing his brothers bow down to Joseph's sheaf. Now, brethren, you don't have to have a PhD in dreamology to understand what the dream is all about. And neither did his brothers need to be told what the dream is all about. The Bible even says they hated him even more than when his father provided for him that coat of many colors, even more than when his father heaped even more love upon him than anyone else. They hated him even more. And then, lo and behold, he has another dream. And he shares this dream with his family as well. In this particular dream, he sees himself as a star, and 11 other stars are bowing down to him. Obviously, again, his brothers. But this time, even the sun and the moon, his father and mother, bow down to him as well. And it angers his brothers even more. And it even bothers his father who loves him so much. Now, let me call your attention. Hold your place there. Let me call your attention to the beginning verses of Hebrews chapter 1. We alluded to this in our Bible class. But in Hebrews chapter 1, Paul is going to go on to say, God who at sundry times and in divers manners, now notice, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, and that was from Pentecost forward, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Brethren, God at one time did speak in dreams or in visions or from a burning bush or even from the donkey's mouth, but he doesn't do that anymore. Paul says, if Paul is the penman here, the penman says that God from Pentecost forward has spoken unto us only through his Son. And brethren, the only way Jesus speaks to us today is through the New Testament. So God still communicates with his people, but he does so exclusively through the New Testament. Now, let's begin to make some application. God used dreams for a purpose. He used dreams in Joseph's life for a purpose. Now, we just read, he's not going to use dreams today like that, but he's still going to speak to us. Just as he spoke to Joseph and informed Joseph of what he wanted of him, he speaks to us today exclusively through the New Testament. And it is a culmination of all the good things in life and all the bad things in life that made Joseph what he was. In fact, the last verse we're going to use today, Joseph is going to tell his brothers, what you did to me, you meant for evil, But God accomplished good from it. So whether it is good, whether it is bad, whether it seems indifferent, God is working through us for his plan. And brethren, blanket statement here, his plan is for us to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. His plan is for us to be an encouragement. Can you, though, begin to imagine how Joseph must have felt when he excitingly had this dream and he explained the dream to his brothers and they hated him even more? Then to have another dream and that dream explained, and even his father rebuked him. So he's mocked by his brothers, rebuked by his father, and yet he knows these dreams are for a purpose. And then his brothers go to a place called Dothan. And we're going to read now from Genesis 37, verse 17. They've gone to Dothan, and Joseph went up after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer is coming. Let us kill him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams." You know, brethren, I think even my worst day was not as bad as this. So Joseph explains his dreams, and it enters him into a difficult time. You know, brethren, I would imagine if we asked for a show of hands, all of us would realize that at certain points in our life, we have had difficult times. Maybe we define those times differently. Maybe we would expound on them differently. But maybe even right now, we are having difficult times. At times like that, we almost seem to feel like everything and everybody is against us. What we really want to do is just go find a hole and jump in and pull the dirt over the top of us. Just difficult times. But brethren, jumping in a hole and pulling the dirt in over the top of us is not what God has in mind. He didn't have that in mind for Joseph, and he doesn't have that in mind for us. He might be using those difficult times to shape us for a great work in our lives. One of the classic songs, we don't sing it much, but it's talking to the Lord, and it says, "Mold me and make me after thy will." Brethren, God is the great potter. He can mold and make anything of our lives that we will allow him to make. He's not going to make us great if we don't want to be great. He's not going to make us faithful if we don't want to be faithful. But if we do, he will help us in that. So whether it's good or bad or seemingly indifferent, God is in control. In fact, Romans 13 verse 1 says, "Nothing exists that God did not establish." And now we're going to jump from Genesis 37 to Genesis 41. Between Genesis 37 and Genesis 41, a lot of things have happened. Joseph now finds himself in Egypt. Potiphar's wife, a great politician there, tried to seduce him. When he refused, she caused him more problems. Now he finds himself in prison. From the pit, when he was with his brothers, now he is in prison. But Pharaoh has a dream, and no one can interpret the dream. So he calls all of his magicians and all of his fortune tellers, and he says, "I want to know what this dream is about." No one could do it. But here's where the providence of God enters into this story. Brethren, may we never deny the providence of God. Here is where the providence of God comes into the story. Overhearing this conversation is a butler, Pharaoh's butler. And the butler goes to Pharaoh and says, "Pharaoh, a similar thing happened to me. I was in prison. I thought I was going to die. I had a dream, as did the baker. And there was a young Hebrew man. Let's see, his name was Joseph. He was able to interpret my dream perfectly, and I was restored to you." The baker also had a dream. It wasn't turned out for him to be restored. Well, long story short, Pharaoh sent for Joseph to interpret the dream. And brethren, this is one of the greatest points I think we can get from his life. We're still in chapter 41, verse 16. Joseph says, Pharaoh, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, Pharaoh, I can't interpret your dream, but God can. And God did. Brethren, may that be the mantra of our congregation in 2016. Maybe we can't, but God can. Maybe I can't, maybe you can't, but God can. God can do anything that he wants to do. The scripture that Keith alluded to in his announcements are reading today. God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask, even above all that we think. So Joseph's circumstances continually changed, and our circumstances continually changed. His life and our life is like riding a roller coaster. But Joseph never gave up. And brethren, we must never give up, because our God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. We must never give up. And then as we draw our lesson to a conclusion, I want us to look at something else that Joseph said. This one is recorded in chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Now he has been reunited with his brothers. He has made himself known to them. They are afraid, thinking he's going to kill them. That was never his plan. But Joseph says this in verse 20. All this bad that you did to me, throwing me into the pit, lying about me, and so forth. You intended it for bad, but God intended it to accomplish that which is being done. All the bad accomplished what God wanted to be done. Now, brethren, it's time for us individually. It's time for us congregationally to start dreaming dreams again, making plans again, trusting in the Lord again. Individually, I need to allow the providence of God to be recognized in my life and move forward with it. And the providence of God in this congregation to recognize it and move forward. Maybe we think we've been sold out. Maybe we think we've been betrayed or forgotten or ignored. Maybe we feel like we're in a pit as Joseph was, or a prison like Joseph was, or a palace like Joseph was. But it's time for us to dream again. Let God's providence work in our life. Let God's providence work in our congregation. Let God's providence work in this world. To quote Joseph, we can't do it, but God can. Now, we're not asking God to do something mystic or magical among us. We're asking God to do what he wants to among us. And we pray that we will have the strength and the courage to open every door of opportunity that God gives us. Not to make excuse, but to, as Jesus said, seek and save that which is lost. Now perhaps there is someone here this morning who has never rendered obedience, as we say, to the primary principles of the gospel. I know there are people here who have heard the truth from their youth up. I know there are people here who have believed that Jesus is the Lord in Christ, who are ready to turn away from their sins. I pray that God gives them the strength to obey the gospel call today. And perhaps there's others here who need to accept Jesus' call as well. If it is you that he is calling, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?